Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, D.A., I'm thirsty, man. Could you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, D.A., what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
D.A., what's the silly? Oh, permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, D.A.? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My co-worker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Gonna have a good day around here, and we appreciate you spending a good day with us. Every day's a good day here on the DA. Monday through Friday, 6 until 10 Eastern Time, 3 until 7 Pacific. As always, we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. You guys are in for a treat coming up in about 20 minutes from now. The classmate of Mraz is in high school that beat him out for the senior superlative, most likely to host a talk show. This got really under Mraz's skin at an early age. He still doesn't believe that the committee got it right, the committee being his classmates who voted on this. So the man that defeated Mraz in the historic Dewey versus Truman matchup of the 2005 West Babylon High School senior superlatives, Justin Smoker, is going to join us. Sorry, Stroker.
Lever from the Mets?
Justin Stroker, the winner of the senior superlative, most likely to host a talk show, 2005 edition, West Babylon High, is going to join us coming up in 20 minutes from now. This is a big one. Mraz, are you nervous at all about this? Do you worry maybe that there's some skeletons that could come out of your high school closet in about 20 minutes?
I don't worry about skeletons coming out of my high school closet. I'm more worried about what you're going to say to him, that he's going to buy hook, line, and sinker, that's going to lead him to text other people I graduated with, that's going to lead to an awkwardness at the 20-year reunion. That's a big step process. I'm more worried about you, pal.
So this is a long play for you. You're worried about the 20-year reunion right now, something coming up and blowing up in your face.
Yeah, or, you know, why did you really say, D.A. said that you thought that about me or said that about, do we have, you know, I don't know. Anything could come of this, but I know if anything bad comes of it, it's not going to come from him. It's going to come from you. So that's what I'm worried about. Yeah, that's honesty.
Do you think that a lot of your high school classmates are listening, or is this totally irrelevant to everybody 15 years later?
Well, I did post something on my Facebook knowing that that's where I would connect with a lot of the high school people, and I got quite a few likes from people I didn't even remember I was Facebook friends with. So I would say that in about 18 minutes, this will be the most listened to segment in West Babylon, Long Island, that we've ever done. So we'll see. More than Canadian bacon.
And what does Justin do now?
I don't know the official title because there's like 14 words and I can't read that long, but there's like, he's an administrator higher up that I know does hiring for a hospital now. And he started as a nurse and he's worked his way up and has been very busy, as you could imagine when you're higher up in a hospital during a pandemic, that talking about a senior superlative from 15 years ago, it was tough to get him booked into this time.
But he was willing to do early. Most of our guests like to do later. He's willing to do early because he's got a high-stress job and he's up early?
My assumption is he's up and about already. He said, hey, you want to do the 7 a.m. hour? It's no problem. You, hey, listen, you know, you do morning radio, you say you're available in the 7 a.m. hour, you might as well have a Willy Wonka golden ticket. We'll sign you up. We, matter of fact, if he could do this early, we'll have him do the baseball playoffs next week. Then maybe in 2 weeks, we can do an NFL spot with him.
It's a big week for Mraz here on the show, of course, as the Rays continue their assault on the American League. He has to keep his avatar as a Rays fan for as long as they are alive, and now they're up 2-0 in the ALCS. Also this week, we'll have Connor Green do a very special episode of Canadian Bacon. I believe we're going to call it Ballpark Bacon, where he goes over the three most crushing losses in Yankees history. And the Giants have fallen to 0-5, correct? They're 0-5? Both
yeah,
Jets and Giants.
I know we can lose count.
0-5?
They're 0-10 combined. Okay. Things have gone well in New York.
And the Yankees have been eliminated. And now the guy that beat him out for the title of most likely to host a talk show in high school is going to join us on the program. So it's been quite a week already for Mraz, and will continue to be so right through Friday. So I'm excited about all of it. This Saturday is such a dandy. I mean, if you were in front of a TV on Saturday night, you've got to watch Alabama-Georgia, because this is two top three teams. Clemson is the only team ranked above Alabama and Georgia. Clemson is number one, Alabama is two, Georgia is three. And this is fascinating for a lot of reasons. I mean, number one is that Nick Saban has had Kirby Smart's number since Smart took that job, even though Georgia has very obviously developed into the most regular threat in the SEC to Alabama's dominance. LSU won the national championship last year. LSU obviously knocked off Alabama, but boy, already as they're 1-2 and had the miserable loss over the weekend to Mizzou, it feels as though LSU was a one-year wonder last year. The Joe Burrow thing just hit. They had all of that wide receiving talent, all of that defensive talent, and it all kind of went out the door at the same time. And so they've already got two losses. They're already out of the playoff conversation. For Georgia, every year Kirby's been there, they've had a great shot at beating Alabama. They've been the regular dominant force in the SEC East. Now Florida's up there as well. And when they've played in the SEC title game or the national championship game, it has been an incredible game. I mean, Georgia has given Bama all types of fits, and they needed the crazy comeback in the championship game. And, you know, Tua riding into the rescue, the SEC title game 2 years ago, they needed Jalen Hurts to run into the rescue. You know, Georgia has had them on the ropes, but Nick Saban's found a way to turn the screws just enough to beat Georgia. But can he do it coming up on Saturday night? I mean, Alabama's defense has gotten worse every single weekend. They might be 3-0, but isn't it bizarre to see Bama's D just get scorched like this? Every week over the first 3 weeks, Bama has given up more points, more rushing yards, more passing yards, more total plays, more total yards, and more yards per play in each game. So they've gotten worse and worse and worse. And I don't know about you, but I feel like Georgia's offense is ready to pop off in this one. This could be a true blowout. I'm sorry, true shootout in every way, shape, and form. This absolutely could be a 51-48. This could be a 48-45. This could be a 63-60. Everything's on the table. And so Saturday night on CBS, I know where I'm going to be. I'm going to be locked into this game, and I think it's going to be so much fun. I don't know if Georgia's defense can slow down Bama, because Bama and Mac Jones, they average over 500 yards a game. And they're rolling. You saw what they did to Ole Miss over the weekend. They put up 63 on Lane Kiffin. They put up 52 on Texas A&M. I mean, this is a team this year offensively that has not missed a beat. And Najee Harris just carrying the football the way that he's done it. Bama might be able to put up 50, but can they stop Georgia from scoring 50 is the question. So not only do you have the age-old battle that has become kind of historic, where Saban just dominates his assistant coaches, but you have a program in Georgia that has been built to be a national title contender, but every time they run up into Alabama, they can't quite get over the hump. And this year, at this moment, you have a chance to go up against Alabama's defense that is far from what it used to be. So this one has all the makings of a fantastic theater of the absurd type of game of the SEC. And let's face it, the SEC defenses have been very questionable early in this season. Maybe they'll settle down. Maybe there was something coming out of a summer without practice. Maybe there's something too, no crowd noise, and so it's easier for offenses to play on the road in this year's SEC. But gosh, the defenses around the conference have just been lit up week after week. So we'll see if Georgia Stetson Bennett can do it. I mean, this is a guy that's a former walk-on and came into the season maybe as Georgia's fourth-string quarterback. But he looks the part. He's got confidence. And the guys like him, and he makes big throws, and he kind of looks a little bit like a Jake Fromm-esque guy who's from Georgia and kind of walks into the job because it breaks open for him and then just is the guy from there on out. And that's a pretty cool story as well. So this one coming up on Saturday night, it's an 8 p.m. kick. It's not the normal 3:30 Eastern kick on CBS. It's a night kick. Georgia and Alabama, which is a huge one and could be the regular season game of the year in college football, really, when you look at it. This could be the biggest one, and it has a possibility of being very Big 12-esque. Now, I kill the Big 12 all the time. I don't love to see 63-60s, but I'll take it if it's one every so often in your conference, like if it's the best game of the year. I don't like the Big 12 because every week is like that, but I can't stand behind that this year in the SEC because we've had way more 50-point outbursts and 40-point outbursts than ever before. And this year's defenses that are normally very stout in the SEC are just not that way at all. It's definitely the best game of the week, and some of your other matchups from ranked foes. We'll see Miami if they rebound after getting thwarted and throttled by Clemson. They're not at Clemson's level. They're number 13. They host Pitt. Number 16, Auburn, is at South Carolina. Number 18, Tennessee, hosts Kentucky. That's always a good rivalry. Number 4, Notre Dame, hosts Louisville. LSU in Florida is a very tasty matchup, although LSU this year at 1-2 and the embarrassment last week is really a problem. So LSU travels to the Swamp to take on Florida, who's number 10. Number 11, A&M, taking on Mississippi State in Stark Vegas. We, again, don't really know what Mike Leach's program is all about. One week he's amazing. One week they're a disaster. And then, as I mentioned, the Georgia-Alabama game at night. 855-212-4CBS. On Twitter, DA on CBS. Meraz, if you were to guess, do you think Alabama and Georgia ends up being the college football game of the season?
No, and I only say that because usually when we are expecting something like that, it never works out that way. I think
worked
still
out that way last year with Alabama LSU. That ended up being the best game of the year.
I guess that's true. The thing is, Clemson is never really going to play a big game, even when they play Notre Dame the rest of the year. I guess I'd be interested to see what unfolds with the Big Ten this year. Does Michigan, Ohio State live up to the billing? We still have that whole season to go. I'm no doubt about it excited, but if I'm picking this game or the field the rest of the way, I'm going to go the field right now, but I still think it's going to be worthy enough drama on Saturday night.
We got one more open week before the Big Ten starts play. They start play on the 24th, so not this Saturday, but the following Saturday. And it's a very bizarre college football season from that standpoint. You have the SEC and the Big 12 and the ACC that will have played half of their season. I mean, maybe more in some ways than before the Big Ten even begins, and certainly before the Pac-12 begins, which is pretty crazy. But it's kind of like dovetailing everything into one another and then trying to pick out amongst the rubble who the best teams are, even though they're not playing against one another. We won't see interconference matchups. So it's going to be kind of an interesting debate of, well, this team of the Big Ten, we think is better than this team of the SEC, even though the only way we have evidence of that is from who they're playing within their conference, and they didn't start play until a month and a half into when the SEC did, and even longer versus the ACC. The ACC's been playing for, what, 7 weeks now, I think? So it's a bizarre season, but this weekend it continues with Alabama, Georgia, and it should be a lot of fun. As I mentioned before, this upcoming interview is really something that we're highly looking forward to. And it comes on the heels of what happened last week. You might ask yourself, how did we get to Meraz's senior superlatives? Well, I'm glad you asked that question. Last week, Mraz's Trash Tuesday, 1 week ago, was about a guy that claimed he was from West Babylon, Mraz's hometown, and was getting some media attention for leading some political rallies. And his name is Sean Farish. Now, Mraz looked at this name and said, this guy's got to be co-opting my celebrity. He's basically, people think it's me because it's listed as, it looks like Sean Farish, and Mraz's real name is Morash. So Mraz was insistent that this guy is trying to con the public into thinking that he's Mraz, and it's leading to Mraz's reputation being in tatters in his hometown because this guy's a real rabble-rouser. We punctured holes in every part of this theory, but Mraz is still staying true to the word, believing that somehow there's a conspiracy theory for this evil version of himself. And one of the things that we punctured the hole in was that Zach Gelb, who hosts evenings here on CBS Sports Radio, by the longest of long shots, happened to, in eighth grade, be enrolled in a sportscasting camp. And in this camp, he did two radio shows with this guy, Evil Mraz, which is Sean Farish. Mraz's insistence is that this guy changed his name once Mraz became famous at WFAN and CBS Sports Radio, which is ridiculous, of course, when you say it out loud, but this was Mraz's insistence. And Zach said, no, this guy's been doing this since we were in eighth grade, which is well before Mraz even got on the air at either one of those two spots. Well, Mraz then convinced us, or has convinced himself, that his celebrity was so obvious it dates back to his senior year in high school. It was well before his 10-year stint as a sandwich artist at Subway, and then before he went into radio, that as a high school senior, he told us, he came in second place in most likely to host a talk show. And we said, superlatives at your high school had second places? That's so weird. And everybody questioned, how could you even know you came in second place? Which, you saw the ballots? And Mraz says that the way that they handled it was you could vote for anybody in the round one, but then it came to the top two vote getters, and then it was basically the championship round. And then so Mraz was one of the finalists, but lost to our following upcoming guest. So do I have all of that buttoned up? Is that how we got here?
I believe so. I cannot believe all that has happened in a week. So really, there's been a lot of twists and turns. There are Netflix shows not written this well. So here we go, I guess.
And so when Mraz told me that a young man by the name of Justin Stroker had beaten him in most likely to be a talk show host, but had then gone into hospital administration, I said, there's only one request I have. Book him on this show. We need that interview. And so, like an up close with Roy Firestone, we're going to be talking to the guy that beat out Mraz for that title 15 years ago.
Grab a surge protector. You're about to be zapped.
Connor, where were you on telling me that you did that with Bogish? Were you double dipping? You had me sit there and gloss you for 15 minutes yesterday and you did it last week with Bogish? You know what? Screw you. I mean, enough with this Connor Green. I mean, come on, the guy's ego.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
The player of the week brought to you by Granger. Let's take a look at the one who got it done. How about this week? Austin Riley blasting a go-ahead solo home run of the ninth to propel the Braves over the Dodgers 5-1. Atlanta takes a critical 1-0 lead in the NLCS. Game two tonight. The Player of the Week, sponsored by Granger. Granger helps your business move forward with supplies and solutions for every industry, safety recovery guides, 24/7 support, and more. Visit Granger.com/recovery. Granger for the ones who get it done. Well, I highly encourage you to be watching, if you can, wherever you are, either at WatchDA.com, also inside the Radio.com app, or on Twitch. Use the CBS Sports Radio channel, because then you can watch our split screen as Mraz squirms in discomfort. WatchDA.com is available on any device. Remember, that's on your phone, your tablet, your PC, or your laptop. Our next guest might not realize what an important role he played in our lives. 15 years ago, our next guest was voted by West Babylon High School on Long Island as most likely to host a talk show. Who came in second? Who did he defeat? Our very own Mraz. Well, joining us this morning on the show to go back in time, it's a little bit like a forgotten classics segment, if you will, a throwback, if you will. We have Justin Stroker. Justin, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning, DA. Thanks for having me. I'm doing well.
My pleasure. Well, that's good energy coming out of the box. It feels like you probably were, you were built for this. You were built to be a personality on the radio. So how important was that senior superlative when you won it 15 years ago?
I wish I could take that bait, but honestly, I'd forgotten about it until Mraz had reached out to me last week.
Huh. So it meant nothing to you.
Yeah, it really meant nothing to me. Yeah, so Mraz, I'm sorry to hear that it got under your skin so much.
Well, for 15 years, he's been thinking about this, and he can't believe he didn't win the vote. Do you remember how the vote happened?
I mean, it's so distant in the past. I was part of the, I guess it's the AV club, and we used to do the advisory announcements in the morning. And so I think people just kind of latched onto that. It was just something I was doing for fun, not anything I was doing really as a resume builder.
So you're just kind of having some fun, doing some morning announcements, and it just so happens people really liked you and respected you enough to vote you in as the most likely to host a talk show.
I don't know if it was a respect thing, but they definitely, I guess, just associated me with the talk show and went with that.
Mraz has told us that the way the voting went down, because I asked him, how would you ever know you came in second, was that everybody was eligible to be voted on and that they took the two finalists and then there was like a runoff. He could be totally lying because that is not listed in the yearbook. We have pictures of the senior superlatives and nowhere is his name around your name. Is that how it happened from your memory or is he making that part up?
They didn't officially announce it, but they did give like the top three performers in the category, unofficially to the class before printing it into the yearbook.
Okay, so there was only one vote. It wasn't a runoff, as Mraz is insisting, like a championship round.
That's how I remember it. He might remember it differently.
Okay. Most likely to host a talk show, West Babylon High School 2005. Justin Stroker joins us this morning here on the show. What do you remember from Mraz in high school? Was he a charismatic fellow?
Charisma is a good word for it, I think. We ran in different circles. I didn't know really much about him. We played a couple of pickup football games on the holidays together. Other than that, I just remember he was a sports guy. He was always in some sort of jersey, like every day, jersey and sweats every single day.
Yeah.
And he was a nice enough guy. Wouldn't give me free sandwiches at Subway, but that's understandable.
Now, do you remember his male pattern baldness back then? He told us that he was nearly bald entirely by senior year of high school.
I didn't want to bring that up, but since you're asking, yeah, it was a definitive characteristic for him.
And he says that's why he was voted best hair. Do you remember that category?
I should have broke out the yearbook for this. I remember that category. I was actually upset I didn't win that one because I had some luxurious locks back then. But best hair would make sense for him, absolutely.
Tell us about your career path after high school. Clearly, you did not go into hosting a talk show. Mraz took a bit of a detour. He did 10 years of hard time at Subway and then jumped into his radio career. Meantime, seems like you've had a natural upward trajectory. Seems like you're doing very well. So what was your career path?
I was stalled for a little bit. I went to college after high school. I wound up working in bars and restaurants in the city. Managed a few of those, came back home in 2010 and wound up going back to school for nursing. Got my degree in 2014. Then I've just been working in nursing and working my way up the ladder since.
And Maraz tells us, Maraz tells us that you're doing very well as in administration in the hospital system, right?
Yeah, relatively new to me, about a little under 2 years in, but working in the patient and customer experience domain. So pretty much just getting, you know, people just come to me with complaints and I got to try and smooth them over. So I guess the talk show personality aspect of it really plays into effect there. But yeah, doing well for myself. Not to brag, but, you know, I think I am.
That's great. Well, congratulations on that. And I would imagine that one of the surprise complaints that you got this week was, I can't believe you beat me in best, most likely to be a talk show host 15 years ago. That's kind of a unique complaint that that Maraz
that
had.
One was a big complaint. And again, Maraz, you know, I'm sorry that this has stuck under your skin so much. If I had known it was going to, I probably wouldn't have changed anything. But I'm glad I could fuel that fire for you, buddy, because you're doing a great job here.
Now, there's a couple of things I just want kind of fact-checking on. Number one, Maraz insists that he is the most famous West Babylon product right now, that even though Geraldo Rivera came from your town as well, he doesn't give back to the community as much as Maraz does. This is what he told us last week. Would you qualify Maraz as the most successful or most beloved West Babylon product?
To my knowledge, yeah.
Wow. Number two, how is he viewed now? A bit of a circus clown, a bit of a crazy person? Because I'm sure the Facebook rants and the social media meltdowns and him naked and in Central Park, I mean, all of this stuff, it must make its way back to your hometown, right?
It does, yeah. And I think it was a little unexpected of him, you know, knowing him in high school and the way, you know, his mannerisms then. But he's really, I guess he's found his niche and is running with it. So I think it's a lot of respect for him, you know, cutting his teeth and getting to where he is now. And if this is the persona that's going to get you to the next level, then, you know, run with it.
Hmm. So it almost sounds like you think it's a bit of a created persona. It's not actually naturally him. He's just kind of using this as a caricature. Hmm.
It seems very caricature, you know, but I didn't know him too well personally. So, yeah, I think he's doing a great job with it. Obviously, you know, a portion of it's going to be natural. You have to have that sort of innate insanity to be able to run with it to the level he does.
Are you aware of a backyard bar named Bob's Bar? It was profiled in the New York Post recently.
I am not, no.
Oh, okay. That happens to be a bar at Maraz's dad's house. It's where Maraz grew up. His dad has a backyard bar, and it was profiled in the New York Post. Maraz insists that it's the most popular place in town, but apparently you've never heard of it.
Wow. I mean, Maraz, next big party, you're going to have to throw me the invite, buddy. Now I'm interested.
Also, have you ever heard of a person named Sean Forash or Sean Farish? Maraz insists that this guy has been trying to leverage Maraz's celebrity by being kind of an evil knockoff version of him.
Yeah, that's entirely true. You know, he's got a doppelganger running around town claiming to be him. But we all know who the true Maraz is, so we're not going to fall for it.
And let me also ask you about growing up in your neighborhood, in that town, Halloween's right around the turn of the decade, I guess the 2000s, the millennium. Maraz says that in eighth and ninth grade, he was viciously beaten with a flour sock on Halloween, which scarred him for years upon years upon years for Halloween. Do you remember ever getting a flour sock hit on you, or do you remember doing that?
I hate to laugh at traumatic events, but no, it happened. It happened. The flour socks were real. I got hit 1 year with a frozen paintball, right in the lip. And, yeah, kids were cruel, man. The suburbs are not a nice place.
Uh, Do you remember the other co-winner of Most Likely to Host a Talk Show that's featured in the yearbook with you, and if she ended up going on to doing anything in the public eye?
I believe that was Nicole DeMezza. And she actually, I believe, is a physician's assistant right now.
Gotcha. So you guys might make a good co-host team. That would be a decent talk show, the two of you, in the medical industry.
I hadn't put it together, but I'll give it a shot and let you know what happens.
Justin, thanks for being such a good sport today, man. This was a lot of fun. Very funny stuff.
Had a great time. Thanks so much for having me.
Okay. See you, buddy. Justin Stroker, the winner of 2005's West Babylon, Most Likely to Host a Talk Show, and Bogues, I think we can see why. The guy's got some juice. The guy's good on the air.
I mean, that could not have gone any better. And you're right. I mean, from that very first sentence, from you welcoming him on, I would have voted for him. Take me back to 2005. He's got my vote if I'm in West Babylon. I mean, it's natural, his ability to be behind a microphone. And I'm glad he's doing something good for society, DA. But, I mean, think of the impact he could have had, possibly even stronger than that, behind a microphone.
He's already better than me at it still.
I mean,
the moment he answered that first question with that energy and that voice, I said, oh, my goodness. Like, had he interned the same time as me, climbed the ladder the same time as me, here's the difference. He'd be doing what I'm doing now. I would not be an administrator in a hospital. So I'm thankful he did
something
else. You'd
just be in a hospital.
Right, exactly. I'm thankful he did something else, but damn it, he's good.
He's really good. He had good, pithy commentary. He got the bit. He's self-deprecating, but also knew how to needle you. He was good. He had a good energy.
And it's good to know all these years later, people remember me for wearing sports jerseys, sweatpants, and having no hair. That really, I guess I did leave a mark.
I mean, that's the headline to me. You were you 15 years ago. You have not changed, just like your location has changed, where you wear your jerseys and sweatpants. And you picked up a wife and kid along the way.
Picked them up.
But, I mean, also remember that Mraz was living at home in that house for, 8 to 10 years after graduation, and then living on the same block for another 3 or 4. So Mraz really did just stay 2005 version of Mraz until further notice.
I moved to a different town a year ago, guys. I'm a changed man now. Three whole exits on Sunrise Highway I moved.
So 2005 lasted 13 years.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah,
have been new ones for you.
Which is why Mraz remembers this vote so well. He is constantly flipping through that yearbook, stewing over the results of the 2005 senior superlatives.
And come on,
he doesn't remember getting cut from JV basketball.
Right. He doesn't remember until recently won it. That seemed like a little bit of a shot. You don't care at all.
He was like,
it's such a face.
It's such a distant memory. I mean, I don't even remember. Yeah. I mean, it just doesn't matter at all.
Come on, does it not matter?
Your heartbreak when he dismissed it. Yeah, completely. I don't even remember what it was like. Thanks for reminding me. The heartbreak on your face was amazing.
Meantime, Mraz is sitting in his basement, circling with a red marker that vote every single night.
Like the guy in Billy Madison who he's got to get apologized to.
Danielle's like, Sean, are you looking at the yearbook again? Are you drunk and looking at senior superlatives again?
Why do we need more red markers?
By the way, how about Justin kind of suggesting that Mraz is playing just a character here, AB, that it's not all authentic?
Well, I think he got to the right breakdown of that. It is authentic, and then Sean pushes things a little farther than he has to or you would normally go. But I think it's all legitimate. I don't think Sean ever is making up emotions. He might expand on them. He might push them farther than we'd expect. But I think they are actually his emotions and thoughts. And then they get a little bit of an extra push behind them. But they start in a real place.
Mraz's origin story is so fascinating that I almost feel as though we could benefit from regularly having on his former classmates and people that he grew up with. because it provides so much context, doesn't it? I mean, it just, it gives you a more rich understanding of how he was built. And I said this before, I don't think there's a Mraz without West Babylon. It seems to me to have been a place that was the perfect petri dish or laboratory to create the weirdest people ever. I mean, I just, when we've gone through Mraz's classmates and family members and neighbors and the Sean Forash phenomenon, it just feels as though it's just an impossibly quirky place. I mean, would that be fair, Mraz?
I think there's a lot of sitcom-ish situations to that town and what's come of it, and there could be an episode every week. Absolutely. But look, you get what you get from what – that's it. I am the bacteria that's grown, and I am here on the DA show as a result of it. So embrace it, baby.
A little devastating that he had never heard of Bob's Bar.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he's just more of a Daily News guy, not a Post guy. Could be.
But he was also in the industry. You'd really want somebody in the industry to know about Bob's
good
Bar.
Point. He could have John Taffer'd us, too, if he's been a manager before, said what we're missing, what's going on here. That's a good point.
Are these Mexican meatballs?
Wait, you put the chicken fajita in the meatballs?
There's an onion, oh.
Shut it down.
Incredible. All right, AB has our headline this morning. Mr. Bogues, what do we got?
These ones are sponsored by NHTSA. If the signals are going at a railroad crossing, don't be tempted to try and sneak across the tracks. Ever stop, because trains can't. DA, maybe we need to cut the Yankees a little bit more slack. I hate to say it, but it might actually be true, because the more we see of those Rays, the more impressive it is that the Bombers actually beat them twice last week.
Now the 1-1 pitch. Here's a swing, and he popped him up down the right field line with a stay in play. Drifting over, Margot into foul territory near the sidewall, makes the catch, flips over the wall. Did he hold on? Yes, he did! What a catch!
That's the Manny Margot catch we discussed last hour, risking life and limb to rob George Springer. The Astros had two in scoring position with two outs in the second. Margot adjusted a three-run homer in the last half inning. Charlie Morton and the bullpen did the rest of the work, getting Tampa Bay a 4-2 win and a 2-0 lead on Houston in the ALCS in San Diego. The last 22 teams to take a 2-0 lead in a best-of-seven have won the series. The last team to recover from this hole, from an 0-2 hole, Shawnee, cover your ears, the 2004 Red Sox in the ALCS against somebody. Over in the NLCS, game one of the Braves, 5-1 over the Dodgers. Austin Riley broke that 1-1 tie with a home run leading off the top of the ninth. For the second straight week, the Saints fell into a double-digit hole and then won 14-0 last week in Detroit, 23 last night against the Chargers on Monday Night Football. Drew Brees happy to win, but...
We obviously want to start faster. We definitely want to start faster. And understand, again, what wins and loses football games. And I'd say the first half, there were too many mistakes that get you beat. Too many mistakes that get you beat. You know, we shouldn't have had to mount the comeback we had to mount in order to win this game.
They were behind last night, partly because Justin Herbert threw four TD passes, but the Saints finally won in OT 30-27. Will Lutz, a 36-yard field goal, then Marshawn Lattimore kept Mike Williams just shy of a first down on fourth down to end the game. And don't forget, there is Tuesday night football as the Titans get back on the field, finally hosting the Bills at 7 Eastern. DA, back to you.
Thank you, folks. When we come back here on the show, we've got your sound check, your best audio of the day. A little bit later on in the show, we talk to Spencer Haywood, NBA Hall of Famer, Basketball Hall of Famer, which is very cool. When we return, has there been any thought in Indianapolis about benching Phillip Rivers? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Our toll-free line, 855-212-4227, sponsored by Geico. Want to know what's really scary? Seeing just how much you could have been saving on car insurance by switching to Geico. It'll keep you up at night. Switch to Geico and save. Frank Reich, any thoughts on benching Phillip Rivers?
No consideration for that. Phillip is our quarterback.
I mean, I think the key is, do you have a better option behind him? That's the problem. And I don't think Phillip Rivers is great. I don't think you should have ever expected him to be great. But when you gave him that cash, what you are saying is we don't have a better option right now. And I don't think they necessarily do either. But Phillip Rivers was rough against the Browns. Threw for zero touchdowns, two interceptions, a quarterback rating of 60. And he's looking every bit the part of aging quarterback that has one final mediocre year. And I think, you know, there's going to be a grab bag of some good moments, some bad moments. But think about it. Phillip Rivers is the same class as Eli Manning, and Eli by the end was already getting very rough to watch and is already retired. What Roethlisberger is doing is really impressive and phenomenal. But, you know, to expect much more to me than what we're seeing from Phillip Rivers was a little bit delusional. He's not old Phillip Rivers, and even, and I'm talking about 5 to 10 years ago, Phillip Rivers, but even that guy also throws you out of a lot of games and showed it last year. Who's the biggest Rays fan aside from Mraz? It would have to be Dickie V, as he took to Twitter to celebrate the Rays advancing to the ALCS on Friday night.
The Rays, baby, the Rays! Yes, sir! Yes, sir! Beat the Yankees! Take that $220 million payroll! Come on, baby! Let's go, Rays! Let's go, Rays! Let's go, Rays!
There's something perfectly Rays about Dick Vitale being excited about the Rays. Like, that would be their celebrity fan. The Lakers have Jack Nicholson, right? The Knicks have, like, Chris Rock. And the Tampa Bay Rays have Dickie V at 85 years old going, oh, Taylor Glasnow, can you believe it? Diaper Dandies, Blake Snellkin, unbelievable. Oh.
Let's go, Rays! Let's go, Rays!
I can't now look at Dickie V ever again and not think about Mraz's avatar. It's Mraz in a Rays jersey and cap next to Dickie V at Tropicana Field. You guys, I think, you know what? Even as a gag, Mraz, you might end up becoming the second most famous Rays fan.
I guess I'll take it.
The other thing that I think that's so incredibly Rays is that there's, of course, a Stingray tank in center field. And that their first pitch was thrown out by Carly Rae Jepsen once. And it was even worse. She was the one that sang Call Me Maybe. It was even worse than 50 Cent. If you look at Carly Rae Jepsen's first pitch, it's so unbelievably bad. And it's like the most Rays thing ever. And finally, just another young wide receiver the Steelers develop in Chase Claypool. But is Steelers radio stealing a segment from our show?
And that is Claypool busting across the goal line for the touchdown right to left. There's the Matt Canada influence.
Oh, great googly moogly. That is pure Canadian bacon, Chalooch.
Yeah, the Canadian bacon.
He sizzles.
Here's a snap. He throws it down the field. Oh, that is Chase Claypool into the end zone for a Pittsburgh Steelers touchdown. Wide open from 35 out, and Ben kind of knew it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I've been saying it all day. This is our fourth time saying it, but that's top shelf Canadian bacon and sizzling.
He was looking at Chase Claypool the whole time. Ben went out there.
That is just excellent. You talk about Mapletron, four times Mapletron.
Four touchdowns.
That's amazing.
Chase Claypool had three passing or three receiving and one rushing touchdowns. He is from British Columbia. So, man, hearing the Steelers radio team yell about Canadian bacon really makes me feel like we got to bring back the NHL playoff bit. That was excellent. Well, sometime this week we will have actually the Canadian bacon segment where Connor Green goes back over the worst losses in New York Yankees history. So stick around for that. When we come back here on the show, what's a realistic comeback timeline for Dak Prescott?
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.